Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee, Bill McMillan Sr., and Anna May. A podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ through the power of testimony, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." This podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on this journey to reach the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. We pray you enjoy the podcast and it blesses and encourages you. And may you grow in His Word and Spirit.
Welcome to Crosstalk. Today we have a very special Mother's Day podcast entitled Turning Sorrow into Joy. We have three beautiful mothers with us today. We have Annie Burns, we have Georgina Johnson, and we have Nancy Watson. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
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 And we're just going to let you ladies talk. We realize that everybody's situations are different. They're unique. Nobody goes through everything the same. But we would like to get a little bit of each one of your stories.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is Georgina Johnston, and I just wanted to share how people can get through some of the hardest times in your life by holding on to Christ and what He teaches us and how He tells us through some of the hardest things that you'll ever have to go through, the loss of someone you love. And me personally, when my little girl passed away and my little boy, both times I clung to David and felt resignated to him because he lost a child. Mm-hmm. And I want to read a piece of scripture and then kind of touch what God showed me in it. It's 2 Samuel 12, starting in verse 18. "Then it happened on the seventh day that the child died. David's servants was afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, 'While the child was still alive, we spoke to him, and he would not listen to our voices. How then can we tell him the child is dead, since he might harm himself or us?' But when David saw that his servants was whispering to one another, he realized that the child was dead. So David said to them, 'Is the child dead?' And they said, 'He is dead.' Then David got up from the ground, washed, anointed himself with olive oil, changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshipped." Thank you, Jesus. "Then he came back to his house, and when he asked, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servant said to him, 'What is this thing that you have done? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But when the child died, you got up and ate food.' And David said, 'While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me, and the child may live. But now he is dead, why should I continue to fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him when I die, but he will not return to me.' And I clung to that, and it strengthened me and encouraged me to get up and worship and cling to Christ so that I can go to him, because they weren't coming back to me. And that, I fed off of that, and I fed off of that, and I read my word, and I read my word. And I know when something hard comes in your life, especially a loss, the Lord, the Comforter comes. And with that Comforter, I know one thing that I would tell everybody that's lost someone, to start reading your Bible.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. God starts mm-hmm. showing you yes, amazing amen. Things in the word when you're in suffering and pain. Because mm-hmm. in our weakness, He is strong. Amen. And His word comes alive to you when you're hurting and in pain, like never before.
Amen.
And I seen that in this when I started reading this right after my children passed away. And I read this and I thought to myself, I did fast and pray, and the sickness is now gone. That's why, this is before Christ, David. But he had an understanding that his salvation came from the Lord before Christ. He knew that even beforehand. And that's why he knew that he would see him again. Yes. He knew Amen. That there was no more sickness where his child was. He wept over the sickness at the time while he was here and fasted for it. But once he was gone, that was no more. And right. there was joy.
Beautiful.
There Amen. Was joy then.
Amen. Amen.
And that really was something that David resonated with me. And as we go along, I have a few people, different people to talk about, but this was how David resonated with me. And I also, right after my girl passed away, my sister Esther, to keep my mind busy, started the sandwich ministry. And I also started going downtown to the Phoenix Children's Hospital and volunteering because I had to be around the wee kids still. I had to still be doing something, you know?
Yes, amen.
And it just came naturally, thank God. The sandwich ministry started, and going down there, I started volunteering down there, and it just came naturally. And it wasn't until this year the Lord showed me in Scripture that Christ himself did the same thing, that it's an actual, that it's actually what, it's what we're supposed to do when
like
we have a loss.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be compassionate and start helping other people.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to get you through your hurt and pain. And I just want to read another piece of scripture real quick. I'm sorry I'm taking up so much of the time. But in Matthew 14, 12, verses 12 through 16. And the Lord showed me this year in his word. And I had never seen it before. And I knowed it to be true, though. You know, I knew that when we started the sandwich ministry right after my girl died, that helped me.
Yes, amen.
That built me up. Yep. That gave me strength.
Purpose.
To wake up. It gave me a purpose. I needed to do something for the Lord. Amen.
Absolutely.
But I didn't know it was biblical until this year the Lord showed it to me, and I want to share it with everyone. This was right after John the Baptist had died, and we know Christ loved him. He was his cousin. He was his friend. He thought very highly of him, John the Baptist. And it says in Matthew 14, verse 12, and John's disciples came and took away the body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. So they've come and they've told Jesus, John, your cousin, who you love, who was here to pave the way for you, is gone.
A horrible death still.
Yeah,
a horrible
terrible.
Death. Not even something nice.
No.
When Jesus heard about John, he left there privately in a boat and went to a secluded place. When you lose somebody, isn't that what you want to do?
It's exactly what I done.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what you want to do? You want to go and be secluded. But here's what God wants you to do. Now we're going to hear, that's what we want to do. And that's fine. There's a time for that.
There's a time for it, yes.
There's a time for that. Christ privately in a boat and went to a secluded place. But when the crowds heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt profound compassion for them and healed their sick.
Wow.
And when evening came, the disciples came to him and said, "This is an isolated place, and the hour is already late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat."
Wow.
So he in his heart at first, Christ himself wanted to go and be secluded.
Yes. And
but that wasn't good. What was going to bring you through it.
Wasn't
going to
bring you through it, no.
That wasn't what was going to help in the long run.
No.
Healing the sick, praying for the people, doing for others, feeding. Right after this is feeding with the fishes and the loaves, the 5,000. That's what Christ did right after a terrible loss.
That's amen. It.
And that's what I would encourage everybody to do.
Wow.
Amen.
That's good. Annie?
Well, my loss was kind of, you know, I had suffered a few other losses. I had lost my husband, and I had lost my brother, and I had lost my father. But when I lost my little girl, the Lord took her home on Mother's Day. So it was a unique loss because I couldn't believe when it first happened that the Lord could be so cruel as to take my youngest child on Mother's Day, you know, my baby girl, my only daughter. And, you know, as God began to minister to me and he began to speak to me, he brought me to this verse in Psalms, and it's 46:1, and it says, God is our refuge and strength. And, you know, a refuge is a place you hide away, as Georgina was speaking about, you know, because you just want to kind of run away, you know. You don't want to face the world without them. I had no strength because I was completely weak in this matter. And it says, it goes on to say, an ever-present help and in help in trouble. And, you know, many of us, I know, have trouble through the holidays. You know, Mother's Day is a couple days away. And as I see it come in, it's advertised everywhere. You know, it's a troubling spot for me. But, you know, the Lord is available 24/7. And he's always available to us. He is our ever-present. He doesn't close on the holidays. He's not out of, you know, in just from 9 to 5. We can always reach out to him in the middle of the night, Amen. Early in the morning, whenever we need him. He can bring us comfort, and he can bring us refuge. And if we'll reach out to him, if we'll just reach out to him, and, you know, the holidays are a hard time for a lot of people. But the Lord overcome it all. You know what I'm saying? Because he give us everlasting life, and we know that we will see our loved ones again. And so we don't grieve like others grieve. So we have hope. And, you know, if we'll turn to him and reach out for his help, hide in his secret place, take strength from him, we can find joy even during times of holidays. Because the Lord showed me last year that I could have never had a daughter. I could have never experienced those years that I had. I would have never had my granddaughter, who is truly a gift from God. You know, I would have never experienced any of those things that go with that. You know, if, you know, so even throughout the loss, even though I had her for a short time, it was still a gift and a blessing from God. Amen. And that Mother's Day was a day to be rejoiced after, because lots of people don't get to be mothers. And I had That's the good. Gift to be yeah. be a mother.
Good,
and she
That's
had
good.
The gift to become a mother.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
As
Amen.
She was alive. And, you know, because I began to think of my granddaughter, you know, how she lost her mother on Mother's Day. You know, that was almost worse than me losing my child on Mother's Day. That she would
yeah,
go through that.
I remember, yeah.
You know, she was a baby, but as she grows up, you know what I mean, it was horrendous. But the Lord began to show me that, you know, she got the gift of, she was a mother. You know what I'm saying? So we always have to look at it from the way that the Lord looks at it, because this is a temporary place and a temporary Amen. Thing. And he looks at things from a heavenly realm. Amen. And he knows what's best, even Amen. Though we don't think it is.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I definitely didn't think it was best at first. I got to be honest mm-hmm. with you. But in as Annie said, my unique case, my oldest boy passed away. And okay, we got through that. I had a long time to think about that it was going to happen. And I just kept moving. I just, beforehand, I kept moving. I never stopped. And then when he passed away, it was like a numbness come on me. And I had been up for, I think, 46 hours. And I come home and I passed out. Then I was just numb. I just, basically, people led me around and I done what we're supposed to do. But then I kind of shook myself and said, okay, God, I got my baby here. My boy and Big Bobby, I got to pull myself together. So he gave me the strength. And believe me, every single ounce of it was from God.
Amen. Amen.
And I just started back to life. Like, I tried not to show anything yes. to my boy, my baby. Because mm-hmm. I know it was a hard time. Him and his brother was extremely close. Georgina knows that.
Yes.
And I just said, okay, well, we got to get back. You got to get to work. We got to do this. And in my times, I would go away with God. And I would cry my eyes out. And I wouldn't, like, I'd go to the cemetery without them. I'd just go by myself. Because I didn't want to upset them anymore, you know. Got through, you know, doing that. I think it was 6 months later, my husband passed away. And very, very difficult. I haven't had a chance to grieve my oldest boy. Now my husband passed away. So, okay. And like you said, going away somewhere, yeah, I just wanted to go home and hide. And I'm driving, and God speaks to me more through my life when I'm in the car by myself. Big Bobby had passed away, and I was, okay, God, I need it, double strength. I've got to take care of this boy.
Amen.
And I got to be strong. And I said, I can't show him how feeked I am, and you've got to help me get, you know, and he did. He did over and over again. You know, I'd be driving, and I'd be thinking to myself, why, God, why? You know, and then he would tell me, you know, it happened. But he said, basically, he knows what's better than I did.
Amen.
I don't understand it completely, mm-hmm. but I thank the Lord I'm not God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God knows way better than anything any of us could possibly know. And at that point, I started putting, I trusted God. I trusted him with my kids, and I trusted him with my husband. But at that point, I started putting real trust. I can't explain it to you. There's a time in your life in walking with the Lord, you'll say, I trust God. And maybe you do with, you know, what apartment you're going to get. God's going to get me the right one. Or, you know, see, I trusted God. Mm-hmm. But when it's your heart, and basically the three of them was my heart, it's like a little more different than the trusting, you know?
Yes, amen, amen.
And I just come to the point when those two, I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Because apparently I don't know, and you do. Goes along out of nowhere. My boy gets some fungus pneumonia thing that's going around. And by the time he was in the one hospital, he had collapsed a lung, took a blood clot, took a stroke, and was bleeding, ulcers, that I didn't know in the one hospital. And got him to the other one. They fixed the bleeding ulcers. And I said, well, maybe we're through this. I walked down to get a sandwich, and it was a cold blue. And when I came up, there was like 25 students working on him. And then they looked and said, he's gone. And it's strange when I think back, talking to you is the reaction. I just looked. I believe Anna Mae was there. I just looked and walked out. For some reason, I throwed my coat off, and I walked out. And then I didn't have the crutch. Well, I've got to be strong for this one, or I got to be strong for that one. I don't got to be strong for nobody. It's just me, you know?
Yeah.
And in comes prayer from everywhere.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Didn't have to see it. I felt it.
Amen.
I felt the strength of God coming up in me. I felt the love of people. And I just knew God was there. And I knew God had everything in hand. And it was a peace that passes all understanding.
Yes, amen. Amen.
And the most I could tell anybody is, in them circumstances, do not lean on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. Because there's no way you can in this earthly brain.
There's no answer.
None. None whatsoever. There is no answer. You lean on him, and he will give you everything you need to get through it. And you need to get through it. You need to complete your destiny in God. This is nothing but a vapor.
Yes, amen.
That we're walking through. And I got that realization too. Because I kind of like would put that off when I was in study when over the years in church. I didn't want to think about anything like that. That was nasty thoughts. I didn't want to think about that. But it's the truth. This is just a waiting place to go to your eternal, and where there's no sadness, there's no pain, there's no sickness, there's nothing. It's just joy and love.
Yes, amen.
Trust in God and trust in him with all your heart. And no magical thing. You do that and God will meet you. He's amen. There for the brokenhearted. Amen. And he was there for me. He was amen. An on-time God and he never left me. He even let me dwell and dwaddle for a long time, you know, and hide. And then he brought me out and then he gave me the strength to do things that I didn't want to do. But he gave it to me. And like I said, all I can say is believe that God loves you and that he wants the best for you and your family. Just trust him.
Yes, amen.
That's
amen.
It. Just trust God. Amen. You have to.
And he was so faithful, Nancy, too, because, you know, God brought little Mary and baby Piper.
God gave me Piper for a granddaughter and gave me Mary for a daughter and gave me the little girl, Sarah, and her kids.
Restorer.
And it was funny because I was just a boys, you know, and all of a sudden, I remember coming out of my bedroom. God bless her. She would say, she would never bother me. God gave me exactly what I needed. Exactly. I didn't need anybody talking to me. I didn't need anybody dragging me. And she would just open the door. She stayed with me. And she would say, okay, go in to get food. I'd say, all right, go ahead. Set it in there. And then she would close the door. And I would go back down, lay down. And she would say, come on, we got to eat. Okay. And we would eat. And then this other little girl, wee Sarah, was going through a tragedy of her own. And she'd come down. She'd put the kids to bed, and she'd come down, and we would sit and watch a silly TV show, a funny TV show. And she would come over, and I said, well, God, I guess I got to come out. This wee girl's hurting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I said, and God just brought it up in me. You know, look, I'm the mature one in age and every way, you know? And we just all kind of got together, and her and I bonded.
Yes, amen.
You know what I'm saying? And it was thank God for it. And we marry. Like I said, we marry's just, she's she's always there for me.
Yes, amen. And that happened with me, too, with Jamie's friends.
Yes.
And
oh,
they,
yes.
You know, Mary Marie and Gloria and all her little friends that she had would call me in the middle of the night and ask, how you doing, Mama? Everything okay? Yeah. What you doing? You know, and it shocked me because they were so young.
Yeah.
Yet they were, the out of all my friends, out of all the people I knew, they were the ones that could reach out and, it like you said, just give you what you need, but need not it. Too much, but not less, you know what I mean? Just
to
enough.
To this day, I have a boy that was a friend of mine, Alex, and he sends me Mother's Day flowers.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Yes. That's the Lord.
Every Mother's Day, you know? And I'm like, I can't believe the boy does it. Thank you, bud. Every year, you know? And it means so much to me because he was my boy's friend.
Yes.
You know?
So although we're in those times and we can't understand, nor do we want to understand.
No.
God is faithful and good.
Oh, yes.
To always take care of us and send people your way to encourage you and lift you up. And I would encourage people to recognize those things and focus on those things that God is
restores. He does.
He's restoring you. Yeah. He's
in what we're
you
doing
back.
Right here. Mm-hmm. I watched Georgina. I thought about Georgina. You know, my head would go to Georgina's getting through that. She went through horrible. You know what I'm saying? I watched Annie, what Annie's got through, and it helps. It really does. Well, you know what? They can do it. I can do it, too, you know?
Well, and they have strengthened me. I mean, I always look to Nancy. She's such a strength,
definitely,
you know, to look
yes.
at. I mean, such a testimony for God's mercy and grace in my life. And Georgina come to me the day of, that next morning, and that's why we need each other.
Oh,
that's
yes.
why things like this are important.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And God is a restorer. And like even with little Annie, he's restored her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and we don't see that at that time. We don't see all those things happening behind the scenes. But he's doing all those things. You know what I mean? He's making a difference. You know,
every
he's
day,
restoring.
Every day, and I know you could say, Georgina, every day there was something different of how he got me, you know, through each day.
Yes, amen.
To say I walked it perfectly would be a lie. No, I didn't. I fell a couple of times there.
Definitely, yes.
You know, but God picked me up, and I was more than willing. I want to do it with God's way. I don't want to do it any other way. You can't survive it, people. You can't.
No.
You can't. Without God, there's no surviving it.
You wouldn't make it, no.
Mm-mm.
And everybody has different sorrows and hurts, and we happen to be mothers, but the same applies to everybody.
Oh,
a loss
yeah.
of a husband, a loss of yeah. your parents, a loss
yeah.
of anybody clinging to Jesus and him. And I remember when my little girl first passed away, she loved Shrek babies. And I went to the store in the mall, the Build-A-Bear, to get these little Shrek babies to make a flower piece out of. And there was a woman inside the store, and she asked me, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm buying these little Shrek babies. My daughter passed away, and I'm making her a flower piece. And the woman started crying. She said, you're in a club that no one ever wants to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
And
yes.
She said, but you're in good company.
Mm-hmm.
The woman said, you're in a club with the Mother of Christ. You're in the club with Mary herself, lost her son. And I want to read a piece of scripture of Mary now to see what she did at the loss of her son. Mm-hmm. So it's Acts 1, verse 14. And it says, all these with one mind. This is after Christ's ascension. This is in the upper room waiting for the Comforter, to be endowed with the Spirit. This is what when you have lost somebody, this is what we need to do. We've got to reach out to the Comforter and have him come and fill us with his Spirit. It's the only way we're going to get through it. And Mary knew this too. And she went, all these, it's in Acts 1, verse 14, all these with one mind and one purpose were continually devoting themselves to prayer, waiting together along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So Mary knew where to be.
Oh, definitely.
Mary knew where to be, waiting for the power after the loss of her son. So that's what I would encourage everybody that has a loss, to know where to be. Know where to be.
Mm-hmm.
Be in that room waiting for him to comfort you, because it's coming. It's coming. It's promised to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's promised to
it
us.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And just like I said, and every promise, he's faithful and true to fulfill his promises, and he promises to send a comforter.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Thank you God. Know, Nancy, you said something that really leaped off, too. Everybody has. I'm sitting here speechless, but I just wanted to repeat it. I think it was such a profound moment, is complete your destiny in God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I
wrote it down. That shocked Amen. Me clean yes. to my spirit when Nancy said that right now.
I do believe that.
Complete, mm-hmm. you know, you're, and it made me scramble through my mind my little sapless things in my life.
But they're important to you, enemy.
I know, but you know? I'm just saying, complete your destiny. I mean, that's well,
finish your
profound.
Race, yeah.
Complete your destiny in God. Right. That was profound. And everything, all of you has been profound, but I just wanted to bring that up. And the other thing I wanted to bring up before we continue on, because we're still going, when I look at yous and see yous going on, completing your destiny in God, one thing about the three of yous, I see yous all around church and up and down. You're always smiling. I have to be honest with you. Yous are always smiling and laughing and joking. Me and Nancy cut up too much on a Sunday morning. Sometimes we separate ourselves.
It's all Annie's fault.
It's all my fault. But every one of yous, Georgina, Annie, you both, and yous, what yous are completing your destiny in God in, yous do with joy in your heart. And it is very inspirational. I just want to say I love yous, and yous do inspire me and make me feel very small at times. And just thank you for being
here. We couldn't do it without your body. We couldn't do it without your body.
We're all a body
together.
You
and Charlie and Martha and Annie and Georgina.
This body.
That's it, baby. That body. Couldn't do it without everybody. You know, it's a strange thing. It's people, they don't come up and say, I've been praying for you, and that's where I get my strength, you know. I know it.
You
I know
feel it.
It. I
yeah.
feel it, and I know it. I know when different people look at me, you know, that they're praying for me, you know.
It's almost as if the prayers are carrying you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's like Pastor Charlie. Mm-hmm. Pastor Charlie tried being nice to me when, you know, everything mm-hmm. first happened. And I looked at him, I said, don't be nice to me. And he said, what do you mean don't be nice? I said, Charlie, I'm not used to it. I don't like it. And it'll make me cry. Now, if you want me to start crying, I have done that. A very, very good friend, young man friend of mine, looked at me right after I was here in church and said, how are you? And that was it. I was gone. Mm-hmm. And I fell in his arms, and then I thought about it. I said, this poor boy, I've put him in shock. I don't respond well. Mm-hmm. I just don't respond well. God gave me this personality, and I have to keep with it. And sometimes I'm a little sarcastic, and like Anna Mae says, I'll kid and joke, but that's me. That's how mm-hmm. God made me. That's how I get through it. Mm-hmm. I can't. I'm not a dweller of poor me. Look what I've been through. I just can't do that.
And I found that too. Like it was almost like your identity became different.
Yeah, exactly.
And you had to like find yourself again.
Yes.
Although you didn't. I didn't want to be the.
Oh God, no.
Woman that this happened to, or the. No. You know, I wanted to just be me, like you said. Just
I wanted to hide
know,
with the guys in the cave.
Recapture that identity. Yeah, it's almost as if you
ladies.
Lose that.
What?
Maybe kind of a bizarre question. When Nancy said somebody come up and said, how are you? How should I act around somebody who's had such a profound loss? What should I say or not say?
That's a good question.
You know.
Can I answer that?
You don't want to hurt nobody.
All of you's
that's
answer it. I need to know.
To me, I would rather somebody just come over and give me a hug. See what's going on. I know what you don't have to tell me, or you don't have to tell me, and it's a lovely thing to say, they're in a better place. To be honest with you, when it first happened with my boy and somebody said it, I went off like a rocket. I know it's a better place, but even better would be right here where I could kiss his face and love him.
Yes.
You know, right now, I want him.
How about you, Georgina?
Well, me personally, everybody once again is different, but I feel like when people don't want to talk about my kids, that upsets me. I want to talk about my kids.
No, I want to
talk
about my kids, but I don't want somebody to say...
No, I'm sorry and all that.
Yeah,
yes,
pat
you. No, but like I want to talk about...
I do too. I love talking about my kids.
I love talking about my kids.
I love talking about her. I talk with Annie about my kids and her girl all the time.
Yes, I love talking
about I never want them to
be
forgotten. No, never.
Yes. That doesn't make us sad.
No.
That's kind of... You
no,
know,
I love to talk to Georgina.
Thing that people think.
Our dressings, our
what,
salad
what upset me the most was when people treat me so different.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't approach you.
Yeah.
Or they come like, and they'd make like a rounder around you, kind of.
Because now you're a different
because
person.
They were scared to approach, which I understood that because I had had other friends that probably maybe I did that with. But that really affected me.
Yeah.
Because it made me think, like, well, what do they think I'm going to think? Like, you know what I mean? Like, am I, you know, like, I'm still here. I'm still.
I think in the moment, like, right after. Not after God's give you a little time. Right after, in my case, I wasn't in my right mind.
No, you're not, no.
I really wasn't. I mean, I, like I said, I just didn't want to talk. I didn't want to go in. I didn't want to, you know, people all the time were saying, you know. And then you kind of get stronger and you can handle it, you know. Initially, I think just being there, it was like what I just said with Wee Mary. Wee Mary was just there.
Yeah.
She didn't do anything. She just was there, and that's at that time, that's all I needed.
Right.
Yes.
Everybody's different.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
You know.
But I would agree with that. I think most people.
I think so too.
Just need someone there to be there.
Yeah.
Be there.
Yeah.
Just be there.
I remember Nancy, you telling me the thing that bothered you the most was the cliches, if you will. Like you just said, they're in a better place, they're dancing in the street, whatever that you knew. But, like, you were, you know.
That wasn't helping.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, yes, it helps when you settle your brain down. But when it's somebody, and Georgina knows she was a good friend of my Bobby's. When it's somebody you're so close to, it was the best thing in my life in this world was being a mom. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved every part of it.
Yes.
Yes.
I love the torture, the torment. Mm-hmm. I love waiting till the last minute. I need a tie clip. That's okay. All right, let's just go. You couldn't have told me 2 weeks ago. I loved it. You know?
Yeah.
And then to have all that took away was hard.
Well, it was your existence.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was the reason I got up in the morning. I breathed air.
Yeah.
You know? And then God turns it around. And what I'm saying is he turned it around where I miss my babies with all my heart, my husband. But God said, okay, you got to send her in over here. They're fine. Mm-hmm. And they are. I know they are. My Lord and Savior has them. They're up there with their Father.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Both heavenly and earthly. God said, now you got to go over here. And trust me, there's times when
you don't want to.
These girls say, we're going to go. And I'm like, yeah, right, okay. And all they do is laugh at me. The more sarcastic I am, the more they laugh at me. But it's like God opened your eyes to another, okay, you can live over here.
Yes.
This it's is, okay. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm. It's okay to continue living.
Yeah.
Well, to me, you have no choice but to, because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that our children and ourselves will have everlasting
Amen.
Life.
Amen. Yes.
Then how can we live a life in darkness and doom and desperation? Because we know that we're going to see them again.
Yeah.
Yes. We know that they're in heaven with him.
Yep.
And so it would be almost as if we were living a lie.
It's exactly.
It's.
That was good, Annie.
We really don't have a choice.
No.
But
I think
to
the
continue
testament.
On with the race
almost
that the
a
Lord
lie.
Has set before us.
Have to.
Because if he wanted us not to be here, if our race was finished, we wouldn't be here either.
Mm. That's right.
But our race is still on.
Was good,
for whatever reason we can understand.
It
you know what I mean?
That's what I had put on all my two kids' grave and my big Bobby was run the race.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They all served God.
Yes.
Every single one of them served God. My boy Bobby, his father, Bobby did for years.
Yes,
he'd gone
he did.
For hours. And
mm-hmm.
Where was you? Oh, it was over here. Okay. All right. We went to a town in, where was it? St. Louis. And there was a man out there, a blacktopper or something. And we were on the road. We were going back to PA. And he said, Bobby said, hi, I'm Bobby Watson. You're Bobby Watson. Yeah, you know, he said, I got a tape you was talking about Jesus on. Mm-hmm. And it was how bizarre and out of the way, but God gets around, you know
he
what I'm
does.
Saying? Mm-hmm.
But he was reminding you.
Yeah.
It, you know what I mean? That's what matters.
Yeah. That's the
this
most
is
important thing.
Temporary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, I don't say that lightly.
No, it's temporary.
But it is a temporary place.
A vapor. The Bible calls it a vapor.
Amen.
And if you think back, Annie, Georgina, when you got married, does it seem like yesterday?
Because
I can remember when you and your husband come here and you got married.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. It's gone. You know? It's 50-some years since I left over in Tempe.
yeah. get married. And I can tell you verbatim everything that happened that day in that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, whew.
And I think it makes you realize when you take such a tremendous loss, how really important that is.
Yeah.
You know, that it you do keep that within your perspective, that this is only temporary.
Yeah.
And heaven is where we're going.
Eternal.
Forever.
And that Amen. Whatever you can do, like Georgina said, to further his kingdom.
Amen.
Is what we're supposed
That's
to be
what you're
doing.
Supposed to do, yeah.
And That's what it. Really counts the most. Yeah. And I Amen. Think people that take such profound loss realize that sooner.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they go through that intimacy that you only yes. get from that great
oh,
of sorrow.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Amen. I agree, Annie.
Well, here we are getting to the end of the podcast, but before we go, I certainly don't want to stop it off if you have anything else, each one of you, that you would like to share.
I wanted to bring up before I went about the title of the thing, the podcast is that he can turn your sorrow into joy. And, you know, I really didn't understand that when I went through such a great sorrow, like personal sorrow, how the Lord would turn that into joy. And, you know, I did what Georgina and Nancy done and served Christ in the best of my ability with the Christmas and the baskets and the hot dogs, the peanut butters, and the, you know, all these witnesses. But we go to decoration, you know, and we decorate the graves. You know, my husband was a great decoration person. The Scotch travelers believe in going back to the graves. A lot of other breeds don't believe that, but we as Scotch travelers have that tradition, and some people do it and some people don't. It's a personal thing. I do believe it's a personal thing.
Right, right.
What I believe that whatever gets you through it, you have to do. Mm-hmm. But the Lord showed me a profound thing a couple years ago with the grave, because my mother loves to go to the grave of my brother, and he's buried in the same cemetery as my daughter. And so I take her, and she has great peace there. And mm-hmm. I would just kind of endure it. You know, mm-hmm. I was there, I would endure it. We knew they weren't there, we knew they were in heaven, but it was just, you know, a thing we did out of respect. We always did it our whole life, a tradition, I guess you would call yes. it, of the Scotch travelers. And the Lord showed me, I was praying about her, what to do her flowers in, because my husband's in there too, and I didn't want to do all pink again and all this. And I was praying, and he woke me up one night in the middle of the night, and one of my daughter's favorite things was Tiffany in life. Mm-hmm. Like her father would take her downtown New York, buy her Tiffany, we'd buy her Tiffany. And Tiffany has a heart, and it says on the heart, "Return to Tiffany." And he showed me that heart, kind of like in a vision, and it said, "Return to heaven." Because see, my daughter was his first.
Oh, yes. 100%.
So she returned to him. And he told me, showed me that that was the way that I should decorate her grave that year. And so I did all her flowers in Tiffany, and I had this girl in town paint signs with little hearts, and they said, "Return to heaven." And I noticed when I did that, all kinds of people stopped by, and they would ask me about it, and, "Oh, this is Tiffany," and I would tell them, like, her story, and my girl served the Lord, like all of our, you know, children, mm-hmm. and that was her greatest thing, was to witness. And so I would begin to tell them about how she loved the Lord and served the Lord, and she was in heaven with him, and that she had returned to heaven. And it was a great witnessing tool. And the Lord showed me on the way home. I was speaking to somebody on the way home at the airport, and they took me back in the Old Testament to a scripture about ordaining the temples, like how God always had a direct instruction how to do things. And if we ask him even those things, he can do. So this graveyard that really is a place of death, really a place you don't want to ever go, the darkest place you could ever be, the Lord can turn into a great thing. But only he can do that. So he showed me that if we could witness to people at the graveyard, because people begin to think about their eternity mm-hmm. at a graveyard mm-hmm. or at a funeral, because you begin to think about, well, what if that was me?
That's right.
Or what if that was my child? Or what if that... It's the greatest time where you begin to question
oh, yeah.
how long you're going to be here. So you have the unique opportunity to witness to people. And he showed me that if one person could come to Christ through that testimony on that place that was a grave and it was dead and it was gone, then he truly that was turning sorrow into joy. Mm-hmm. Because it says in the Bible, it says, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents."
Amen. So joy can't come out of even the darkest places, even the places of graves or places that are there. And, you know, it says in the, I didn't write down what scripture it was, but it says in the Amplified, now also we would not have you ignorant, brethren, about these things, those who fall asleep in death, that you may not grieve for them as the rest do, who have no hope beyond the grave.
First Thessalonians 4:13.
Yeah, yes. We have hope that, you know, we have everlasting life in Him. Yeah. So the grave is not the end of the story, although people go to graveyards and cemeteries and funerals and they think it's over and it's done.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning, us as Christians believe.
Yeah.
So truly, that was the way He turned my sorrow into joy.
Amen.
Was that He can, throughout that great sorrow that we've had, all of us, through our testimonies to each other, we can reach people for Christ, and all the angels in heaven will be joyous.
Rejoice.
Amen. That was good.
Amen.
That was good.
I don't want to cut you off, Georgina. Nancy, do you have anything you want to leave with us?
I've said it all.
Amen. I just end with in Isaiah 53:4, it says he bore our griefs and our sorrows already.
Amen.
It's already been taken care of. Your griefs and sorrows have already been borne by Christ.
That's good. Amen. Annie, you have a page, too. Would you like to share a little bit about it?
Margaret Ann has a page, Nola's Mom. It's called Beauty from Ashes. And we're going to put the podcast up on it. But we put up scriptures periodically. Sometimes we have witnesses, testimonies. But it's just some place that you can reach out to somebody if you need prayer. You can private message me or Margaret Ann. You know, we, as I said, as Nancy spoke about, it's the prayers of others that lift us up, you know. And if you have a testimony to give, or you want to, you know, share a scripture, you're welcome to do that on that format, because I truly believe that what got me through it was seeing other people like Nancy and Georgina walk through it ahead of me, and made me see that, you know, we can laugh again.
Amen.
We can sing again. Hope. We can enjoy life again and not feel guilty about it, because we know that our loved ones are in heaven. Just
we're having the time
of
their life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
Well, we want to thank you. It's really touched my heart, my spirit, and really I know you had to dig deep down to get that and share it with people, and we don't take it lightly, and we appreciate, because I know why yours are doing this. You're doing this like Jesus did, to help others, just like you said, Georgina, and I can't express how much it means to us that you would take the time to come on and express your hurt and how God helped you overcome it and get to that joy. I think it's going to touch countless amount of people.
Praise God.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. Join us next Monday for the latest podcast, and remember, you can scroll down and listen to any that you missed. Please follow us on Spotify and tap the notification bell to have every new podcast loaded automatically. The Spotify app is free, and it makes it much easier. We will be posting new podcast links on New Life Church Facebook page every Monday. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen next week. God bless.